I want to share with you a passage from Isaiah chapter 9, 6, and 7. Okay, let's read this together. 1, 2, and 3. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Let's pray. Jesus, we worship you as the Prince of Peace. Thank you that your government and your peace will continue and reign forever. So in the last service of the year, of the decade, we come and worship you. And we proclaim that you are God. Spirit of the living God, we invite you to come and give us this peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2019 is coming to a close. Woohoo! Only a few days more, then we'll be welcoming 2020. A lot of news channel would like to do like the year in review, right? Have you ever seen one of those? And a few days ago, I was watching the TV, and then one of the news also doing like a 2019 in review. And the caption is, 2019 is the year of protests. Wow. Then I Googled it, see what it's all about. Violent demonstration and protests are all over the world. In Bolivia, how many know where Bolivia is? I don't even know where Bolivia is, okay? People protest because of electoral fraud of the government. In Chile, people are protesting against the raise in the metro subway fare, the increased cost of living, and the inequality in the country. In Ecuador, there was protest. In Egypt, there's protest. In Gaza, there's protest. Indonesia, Iran, people go to the street because there's a 200% increase in the fuel prices. Moscow, last but not least, Hong Kong. I'll talk more about Hong Kong later. We live in a time of great turmoil and conflict. We long for peace, but yet peace seems to be far away from us. Well before the birth of Christ, Isaiah prophet, hundreds of years before his birth, saying that the Son will be given to you and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when the angels announced this news to the shepherd, they said, glory to God in the heaven, the highest of the heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Amen? However, the kind of peace that Jesus is bringing to this world may not necessarily be the same kind of peace the world is looking for. Nowadays, people have no peace because there are many conflicts raging on different fronts. There are many types of conflict. Number one, inner conflict. A lot of people now are struggling and turmoil inside of us. We are living in the days of age where a lot of people experience self-doubts, in a lot of fears, in anxieties, and we need inner peace. Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy and rest and peace, but psychologists told us that Christmas is the most depressing and stressful times of the year. Christmas shopping is stressful. Praise the Lord, Christmas shopping is over. Actually, I gave up Christmas shopping a long time ago. And we thank God for Amazon. Nowadays, we can buy the whole world without leaving home. Amen. Yes. My wife loves to shop online, and every day I have package in my front doors, sometimes multiple packages. And then I was saying, wow, another package. And then she said, well, actually, I'm saving you money. Christmas celebration can be stressful. One year when I was like trying to go to a Christmas celebration, a huge musical and production by a large church, and there were so many people trying to get into this show, and then the cars is like lining up and cannot go into the parking lot. After a while, people get agitated and they get very angry, and the guy in front of me just get out from his car right in the middle of the road, and he start yelling at the people in front of him. And I was thinking, we are celebrating the birth of Christ, and it's supposed to be joyful and peaceful. Yet it turned into anger and rage and almost fist fight. Moreover, I think people are in conflict with one another. The home front is sometimes the most violent. Husband and wife in argument. Parents and children are at odds. There are many sibling rivalry. Family gathering can be a stressful time. And there's a conflict with your co-workers and your boss. How many of you are at odds with your boss right now? No one. Wow. Hallelujah. Racism, violence are everyday occurrences. We used to be shocked by mass shooting in America. Nowadays, we are so used to it that every time when it occurs, it becomes just another piece of news, and a few days later, we forget about it. Our government is so divided and broken, they cannot do anything except arguing. And our president is being impeached. On the night when the Congress passed the impeachment bill, I was very nervous and I told Amy, oh, Trump is impeached. And she was like cooking, and then maybe she did not hear me clearly. He said, what? Plum or peach? And that's a real story, okay? Internationally, there's a lot of conflicts. Nations against nations. The Middle East is one of the least peaceful places on earth. We are constantly in the threat of the international terrorism. The world is on edge of a full-scale nuclear war. The other day, I read the news and the title said, when a nuclear attack on U.S. soil, these are the most likely target. The six cities will be the most likely target. And I was nervous. I want to check to make sure that my city is not on the list. New York, oh, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And then we are not that far from San Francisco. Washington, D.C. And a lot of public health experts said that all this city would struggle in case that there would be a nuclear attack. And we no longer have this kind of fallout shelters to protect us from radiations. Instead, if the bomb explodes, this dust of clouds will be in the atmosphere for 15 minutes and we will come down on Earth. And then that will be the most dangerous time. Actually, the daily news gives us a lot of stress and anxiety. And it's not good to keep update with what's going on in the world because it's not good to your mental health. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In the world filled with war and violence, how could Christ be the embodiment of peace in this world? We want peace, inner peace, peace with others, peace among the nation, but yet peace is so hard to come by. What is the peace that Jesus is talking about? First of all, we need to understand the worldly concept of peace is very different from the kingdom concept of peace. The worldly sense of peace is about no conflict, no hostility. I still remember like back in the 70s when, you know, they were during the Vietnam wartime, a lot of people came out on the street to protest against the war. No war. A few months ago, I visited the War Museum in Ho Chi Minh City. It was basically document the whole Vietnam War from the Vietnamese perspective, the Viet Cong perspective.
And America was the aggressor committing war crime. Millions of innocent people were killed by the regular combat and also chemical warfare. Even some of the ex-American soldiers, after they came back from war, they protest against the war. Time magazine did an analysis about the last 4,000 years of human civilization. And they said that only 8% of the time that there was no war between nations. That means 92% of the time people are at war at one another. Jesus warned that wars and hostility would continue to increase in end time, not decrease. To a lot of people, peace means security, means what we have, means what is about our external circumstances. The richer we have, the more money we have, the better job we have, the better retirement plan we have, the better health care we have, even we secure a place in case of a nuclear attack. This is peace. Or in Chinese, coming in, coming, going out, we have peace. 这也平安, right? We like to put all those things on the door. However, in the biblical sense, peace is actually, there's two words in the Bible talking about peace. The first one is, we all know really well. What is that? Shalom. Shalom. It's not only talking about our safety, it's talking about the wholeness of our whole being, our body, our soul, and our spirit. It's also talking about health, being in a good health. That means we are prosperous, we are blessed by God. That means we are successful in our endeavors and also victory over our enemies. So when the Hebrew people greet one another, they will say, Shalom, my friend. Maybe this is also a very good greeting today. Why don't you do a Shalom, my friend, to the one next to you. Shalom, my friend. Shalom. There's a song, a pretty old song. We know it all real well. Shalom. What? You don't know how to sing that song? My friend, shalom. No? All right, I won't sing for you. Chinese is very practical. We only care about our stomach, okay? So when we see one another, what we ask one another, have you eaten yet? Another word for peace in the New Testament is irene. Paul used this word a lot in his letter to the churches. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially talking about unity in accord with one another, especially in the church. What is this peace that Jesus has promised us? Number one, peace with God. Peace with God. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and also verses 1. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. For if while we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. So the deepest meaning of peace is actually is a spiritual harmony brought about by individual restoration with God. Peace is the restoration of our relationship with the Father. Unless we are reconciled and restored with our loving Father, we have no peace in us. Sin is the universal problem. And because of our rebellion against Him, we have no peace. As a matter of fact, peace has been lost since the days of Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned against God. They were afraid of God and they hide from Him. When King David sinned against God, committed adultery and murder, he had no peace and he said that all his joy has been lost within him. So he wrote Psalm 51, said that, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart and do not take away your Holy Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. The prophet Jonah, God warned him to go to Nineveh and preach against it so that the people may repent for their sins. However, because of his national prejudice and pride, he ran away from God and went to Tarshish. God warned him to go to the east, but he went west, rebelling against God. Eventually, he was tossed into the stormy sea. Brothers and sisters, this is all of us. When we disobey God, we are like Jonah being tossed into the stormy sea. No peace. Paul said that in our sinful state, we are enemies with God. We are enemies with Him. And because of Christ's sacrifice, we are being restored to a loving relationship with the Father. We are no longer His enemies. And it is not fun to be His enemies. All the worldly kings of this world gain power and kingdom through defeating their enemies. In Chinese culture, the king would kill everyone related to his enemies. In other words, the kings of this world gain power through bloodshed, shedding other people's blood. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he is not shedding other people's blood, he is shedding his own blood so that to bring ourselves peace with God. Another great passage in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigner and stranger, but fellow citizens with God's people who are also members of his. Paul is saying that Jesus is our peace. He put to death hostility between God and man in making peace. And the gospel that we preach is the gospel of peace. 2019 was a year of protest, especially if you are aware of what's going on and happening in Hong Kong. How many of you are from Hong Kong? Or how many of you, your parents are from Hong Kong? Wow, that means you are all should be concerned about what's going on. For those who grew up in Hong Kong, I think we are very sad to see what's happening right now, what has transpired in the last 6 months or so. Hong Kong used to be one of the safest cities on the earth, and no longer the case. So if you want to visit Hong Kong now, go. It's very cheap. So you can get tickets for like 350 to 400 during the low season. Unrest has plunged the city into political, social, economic turmoil with no end in sight. Someone described Hong Kong as being torn apart, wounded, and broken. Relationship has been torn apart. Government against citizen, police against citizen, family members against one another, even brother and sister in the church are torn apart because of different political views. Hong Kong is broken. Family is broken. The rule of law is broken. Economy is broken. Everything we enjoyed so dearly for so long suddenly was being taken away, gone. Because a lot of difference in opinions, in the value system, sometimes because of racial prejudice and difference in political view, people are turning against one another ruthlessly. A lot of people are saying that this is about identity politics, meaning when a person or a group of people are felt being mistreated, and they will rise up to revolt against existing system. And the young people in Hong Kong felt that way. They felt mistreated by the government, by the society in general. and they felt hopeless about the future. A lot of people cannot get into university. They could not get a good job, a high-paying job. They could not afford a house. A lot of people are saying that even if I save every penny that I make for the next 20 years, I still cannot afford to buy an apartment in Hong Kong. They could get married, but they could not start a family. They felt hopeless. So when 2 million of Hong Kong people went on the street to protest, a lot of these young guys are being emboldened. They felt being identified and acknowledged. And they said, I have found my dignity. And some protesters have become very violent and they destroy everything they see on the MTR, businesses, shopping centers, and restaurants. And tourism has come into a halt. Some even get into fistfight on the street with other people because of different opinion. And they sometimes even like set people on fire because of the difference in political views. Why such hatred and anger? CNN does an analysis, and the other night I was watching it, and then it said, the whole generation criminalized. The last 6 months of protest, 6,000 or more arrests. 2,400 are students. Many of them are under 18 years old. And the youngest one is only 11 years old. Hong Kong people used to idolize policemen. Maybe we watched too much Jackie Chan's movie. But now no one was worshipping the police anymore. The city needs to be rebuilt. And how could that happen? The other day I was reading Dr. Philemon Choi's, actually watching his video, and he used this passage to preach about the rebuild of Hong Kong. How do we rebuild Hong Kong? And he's saying that our gospel is actually the gospel of peace and reconciliation. And unless a person being reconciled first to God, there will be no reconciliation among people, let alone a community. And the rebuilding process starts when an individual starts to come and realize that we have been hurt and deeply wounded. And because of the deep wound not being healed, we begin to start to hate one another. And we must humble ourselves before God, acknowledge that not only we were hurt, we were also hurting other people. And we need to receive the healing and forgiveness from God. After that, then we can come together as a community. Brother and sister, during this time, we really need the peace of Christ to reign in our hearts, to take away all the hostility and hatred within us, so that people can really come together and forgive one another and to be reconciled. The hope of Hong Kong is not about political change through protest or violence. It is about the gospel of peace and restoration. The second meaning that this peace that Jesus brings is the peace from God. Let's read John chapter 14, verses 27. 1, 2, 3. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying that I will give you this peace. Actually, peace is a gift from God. It is not something that we can manufacture and we can form it within ourselves. Jesus said, the peace that I give you is very different from this world. And he's actually talking about the indwelling of the Spirit of God within us to give us this peace, this joy, this love that the world cannot give us. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus is very clear. But he said that, do not be afraid, for I will be with you. And in the end time, it's getting more and more difficult to stand up for what we believe. And a true believer of Jesus will face difficulties and persecution. Jesus said, if the world hates you because it hated me first, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they certainly will persecute you also. Sometimes life can be difficult. When the storms of life suddenly come, it's not going to be easy. But Jesus said he is going to promise to give his peace that is beyond our understanding to his followers. How do we going to have this kind of peace from God? Let's read Psalm 147, verses 10 to 11. 1, 2, 3. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warriors. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. The angel proclaims on the night Jesus was born that peace will on earth to those whom his favor rests. That means if God is delighting you, he will give you this kind of peace. And the psalm is saying that God delights in those who fear him and who hope in his unfailing love. Secondly, Paul is saying that through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, we will experience that peace that transcends all understanding. And lastly, he said that we need to let this peace of Christ rule and reign in our lives. Brother and sister, if you are having no peace right now, do you let Christ reign in your life? In your family situations? In your marriages? The more Christ reigns in our life, the more peace we will experience. Last week, while we were reading the prophet Habakkuk, and I was very moved when I read chapter 3. Prophet Habakkuk lived in a very turbulent time in his history of Israel because he witnessed his destruction of his nation by the violent, wicked, and dreadful Babylonians. He was very angry, and he had no peace within him. And he complained to God, "Oh Lord, how long will I cry out to you, and you will not hear from me? And how long will you not save your elect and your anointed one?" He essentially was begging God, say, "Hey God, do something about this. Why are you silent and you are away? You are far away from us." And then God answered Habakkuk. He said that the just shall live by faith, and the wicked will receive their judgment and punishment. Even though Habakkuk may not fully comprehend God's plan and action, he then chose to praise God and meditating on his greatness. And the result of that, he began to have peace in his heart. So chapter 3 said like this. He said that, "O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. And in the midst of the years, make it known in wrath, remember mercy." And then he meditated on God's greatness. And thus he said that, "God, your glory covered the whole earth and heaven. Your brightness was like the light. You stood and measured the earth. You looked and the nation trembled. The mountains saw you and trembled. The sun and moon stood still. And then you went forth, your salvation of your people, and you will save your anointed." As he meditated on his greatness and his goodness, he began to have peace experienced in his heart. So that comes the famous line in verses 17. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herb in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord." You think about it. Nothing goes right with him. No fig, no vine, no olive oil, all the flock die, no herb. Cannot get any worse than this, yeah? But he said that, "I will still praise the Lord." In the midst of the worst situation and circumstances, he still have peace with God. Lastly, what does this peace mean? It means the peace of God. Let's read this, verses 7 one more time. 1, 2, 3. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This is talking about his rule and his reign. Prophet put the two words together, his government and his peace. Actually, these two things are directly proportional to one another. The more the reign of Christ in our life, the more peace that we will experience. 2020 is coming just around the corner. In the new year, a lot of people have new year resolution. And one of them is world peace, right? How many of you have done this before? I'd like to see world peace. How many of you want to see world peace in your life? Raise your hand higher. Actually, it's not biblical. I trick you, okay? Can the world really have peace? The world will never have peace because Christ has not reigned on earth yet. The king of this world is not Christ right now. The king of this world is Satan. The only way when the world will really enjoy world peace is when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The world will be really in peaceful state when Lord resume his rightful place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When the nations are living in obedience to him. This morning when we read Zechariah chapter 14 verses 9, it says, the Lord will be king over the whole earth. And on that day, there will be one Lord and his name is the Holy One. Amen. His government and his peace are directly proportional to one another. The more of his government and his reign, the more will be the peace. Brother and sister, do you let Christ reign in your life? Do you let Christ reign in your marriage? Do you let Christ reign in your family relationship? Brothers and sisters, do we let Christ reign in our church? His government and his peace will reign forever and ever. And our hope should never be put on the earthly government and authority. All the worldly peace and righteousness is just a lie. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that in the end time, the Antichrist will appear as a man of peace and he will deceive the nation to sign a peace treaty with Israel. And after 3.5 years, he will revoke the treaty and there will come the great tribulations of the Jewish people. And our hope is really in the return of Christ on earth to set up his millennial reign on earth. And he will come back in glory. And he will destroy his enemy. And he will bind Satan for 1,000 years. Is also what we read this morning. And he will establish this year 1,000 years of reign and rule on earth. And with justice and righteousness. Revelation chapter 20 verses 6. Let's read this together to conclude our service this morning. 1, 2, 3. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Let's all stand. Can we sing the song number 3? Even though I don't know this song, okay? You sing, okay? I like the lyrics. Let's all praise the Lord. Thank you.
peace God has reigned in me and pulled me from the raging sea. And I am safe on the solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation.
Shall we all lift our hands and praise our Lord? He is our salvation. And in this time of the year, in the end of the year, in the end of this century, let's praise our Lord, for He is our peace. Because of His sacrifice, that we can have peace with the Heavenly Father. And all the hostility has been put to death. And we praise the Lord, for He is being our peace and righteousness. And brother and sister, if you experience a lot of turmoil inside of you today, whether that be a relationship turmoil, or you are afraid of the future, or uncertainty about what's going to happen, or you're dealing with some kind of difficulties, would you invite Christ, the peace that reigns in your heart, and let Christ ring in your heart, and cast away all these fears and anxiety and worries of life, and you invite Him in, and His government and His peace shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Let's have a time of prayer, and we can praise Him for who He is. We can invite Him into our relationship. We invite Him into our family. Invite Him into our workplace. Invite Him into our city. Invite Him over this nation. Lord, may Your reign and Your rule come over this earth. Let's all lift our voice together. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up a voice of praise to Him. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. And You will reign on David's throne forever and ever, and establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, O God. So today we declare, Jesus, You are the Prince of Peace. Come over this world. Come and reign over my life, so that I can have this kind of peace that You have promised me. Let's sing the chorus one more time. Stretch out your hands and receive the blessing from the Lord. Jesus said, the peace that I give you is different from the world. Jesus said that if you let me reign in your life, reign in your relationship, reign in your heart, and this peace that beyond all understanding will increase forever and ever. So Father, we praise You. Jesus, we love You, for You are our salvation. And of Your government and Your peace, there will be no end. And we long to see the day when You will come back in glory and establish Your kingdom over this world. Hallelujah. We look forward to that day. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen.